How many of you guys have one of these books? Raise your hand. If you do not have one of these books, make sure you go by one of the tables out in the lobby, pick it up. It is a devotional book for you to go through and kind of prepare yourself for what we're going to be talking about on Sundays, all right? What are we talking about, this story about telling the story of Jesus? Now, we've already talked about Jesus and how he was able to overcome temptation and just the incredible story there of how he was tempted just like you and I. And then last week, Preston talked about how he has the power over the spiritual realm. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that God has power over the authorities in the world. Amen? The seen and the unseen. And so today, we're going to get a chance to look at how he has power over the physical world, in particular, healing. In particular, healing. Why and what does God's role in healing in our lives? But before we do, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever had a time when you've been frustrated because you can't solve a problem? Raise your hand if that's you, because I know that's all of you. You know what I'm saying. You have something in the house, ladies, that you just can't figure out, and your husband doesn't take the time to do it. Or maybe you're at work, and you're like, I just can't figure this out. I need some help. You know, oftentimes, we all find ourselves there. But the truth is, it's amazing when someone walks in the room and says, oh, I can solve your problem. Isn't it wonderful? My wife would say that. She has a list of about 500 things that she says I need to do around the house. She's like, listen, I've been fretting over these for about 3 months now. Would you please help me? I need this done. I literally walk in the room and 30 seconds later, I'm walking out like, yeah. She's like, you could have done that 3 months ago. Right? I mean, we love it when that interaction happens. We love it when someone comes and solves our problem for us. The question is, oftentimes, why do they have that skill? Sometimes my wife says, you realize normal people don't have that tinker ability. She calls it tinkering. That tinker ability like you do. You know, how do we learn those things? Sometimes it's natural. We just have a skill set. Sometimes we've learned from hard knocks. I mean, sometimes we have some knowledge. We went to college and we're like, hey, I can solve somebody's problem here. And the truth is, we love to help. But sometimes, listen, sometimes you can solve a problem because you were created, listen to me, you were created for the solution. You were created for the very moment. Maybe you created something amazing and you're the only guy that can fix it and everybody knows you're the guy, you can solve this problem. In relationships, oftentimes, you know what? If that one person in the relationship would just surrender to God, it would just make the relationship so much better. Well, when it comes to this idea of healing, I want you to understand something, that Jesus came to solve our problems. I want you to know that Jesus is the solution to the issues that we find ourselves in, especially when it comes to this idea of miraculous healing. You see, you can't tell the story of Jesus without telling the stories of his miraculous healings. Jesus had the power over the spirit, the flesh world, the human body, because he was the creator. He was the solution to our chemistry, our makeup. It's not a mystery. Listen, it's not a mystery that he could heal. Listen, he knows everything about your body, how every cell works, how everything is working together. He knows it, and he can repair it just like that. Why? Because he was the creator of that. And also what's amazing is that he helped rich and poor, Jews and Gentiles, men, women, and children. He did not care. There was no limit to his life. But the question is this, why is it so important that we talk about that today? I mean, that was 2,000 years ago. Jesus had this healing power, and yes, it was amazing, and it was for a lot of really cool reasons. But the reason I believe we should be talking about healing today is because I truly believe that Jesus is still in the healing business. If you've been healed by Jesus, say amen. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you. People say, hey, God's not in the healing business. I'm telling you, God's in the healing business today, and we need to grasp that reality. He intervenes. Now listen, what frustrates us is sometimes he doesn't intervene. Sometimes he doesn't get involved. And I'm telling you, we need to ask ourselves the question of why. You see, Jesus was able to heal because of one reason. Because it was the will of the Father. If you have your Bible, let's turn to John chapter 6 and verse 38. It says this, Why was Jesus here? I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I need you to understand something, that the real reality of God's healing power is that it has to be within God's will. He is not interested in doing other things. Jesus is engaged in the will of the Father, the Godhead. So often we desire healing from Jesus. We want to be healed, and all that's important, and all we want, but sometimes it does not fall in the realm of his purpose, and sometimes that is frustrating because, listen, we think God doesn't heal. He doesn't answer prayer. You see, the truth is difficult for us to embrace. I don't know about you, but I don't like that answer. I want God to heal everyone. I want it just to happen immediately. But that's not the way God works. That's why Romans 8:28 exists. For we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. This passage is very important for us to grasp. There is this power of Christ that has healing power, and then we have the will of God who works out through suffering, which we do not like. You see, God works through healing, and God works through suffering. And let me tell you something. I believe God works through suffering more than healing. I truly believe that. Now, I don't know why that's the case. I just know that it is true, and let me tell you why. As you guys know, you might not have known, but my mother died when I was 10 years old. What you might not know is that she died of kidney failure. And I'll let you know, kidney failure death is just a miserable way to die back in the 70s when she had this disease. You see, she had three daughters. And on the third daughter, the doctor said, listen, you should not have any more children. It's going to kill you. And so my mom and dad got together and they decided, hey, that's good. We're no more children. Three ladies are enough. And of course, all you got men with three ladies are thinking, yes, but I need a son. But my parents were done. They were so done that they named my sister Ronine after my dad, Ron. No joke. So there is Irene, Eileen, and Ronine. You've never heard that name because this is why. Ronine. But hallelujah, they screwed up and they had me. Right? And guess what my dad said? His name is Ron. So we got Ronine and we got Ronald Vern Hoffman the second because he didn't like Junior. So here we are. This is the situation. This is the story. But unfortunately, my parents' decision accelerated the disease within my mom's body. And before you know it, she had to have a transplant. She had her first transplant and it failed. She was so devastated that she had a chance to have another transplant and she refused. Now, you need to understand what that means. That means that at that point or before that even, you're committing yourself to live on dialysis until you die. And so the city of Seldovia, knowing the circumstances, bought my parents a dialysis machine that was in my parents' bedroom. It was there. They bought it for her. They then trained my dad and several other men to administer this dialysis machine. She had a cal vein in her arm. They're sticking her all the time, every other day, every third day. It was a process, and her blood was clean so she could live. Well, on the night of October 6th, Saturday night, my mom wakes up in the middle of the night screaming and yelling, and we had a three-story house, well, it was two stories and a basement, and I was on the middle floor because I was mama's boy, and so I ran upstairs and I went to ask her, what can I do? What's going on? What's happening here? And she said, listen, I don't know what's happening, but I'm in so much pain. Can you get me some Tums out of the drawer? I'd never forget this. I went over, I grabbed a package of Tums. They were in a little lifesaver contraption, like, you know, stacked up like that. She downed those things like they were nothing. And all of a sudden, she started to get some relief, and she's like, oh, I'm starting to feel a little better. And I stayed with her for a little while, and she said, listen, it's okay. I'm going to be all right. You can go home. Go back to bed. So I decided to go back to bed, and off I went. The next morning was Sunday morning, and you want to know what? When I got up in the morning, my mom was not fixing breakfast. She wasn't ready, and so I thought, she had a rough night last night. She's probably sleeping. So I went downstairs to my sisters, and I said, hey, guys, mom had a rough night, and I think that we should let her sleep in. And we all agreed, hey, we'll do that. And so I get ready for Sunday morning service, and I'm the runt of the litter, just to say that. I'm the spoiled, rotten boy in the family. And I am a mama's boy. And so I think to myself, well, I'm going to go up and kiss her goodbye to let her know what we're doing. And so as I walked up, I'll never forget the moment, I knew something was wrong right off the bat. And as I approached her, her arm was out of the covers, and I touched it, and it was ice cold. And I looked at my mom, and she is staring me in the face. And I immediately run downstairs, and I tell my sisters, Mom is dead. Now I'm 10 years old. I'm overwhelmed. I then run down out of the house, down to my grandmother's house to let them know what had happened. You know, I want you to know something. The story is devastating. Even just saying it brings back nightmares, really. But the truth is this. I want you to know something. That I prayed for my mom's healing. I prayed that my mom would be healed. My sisters prayed that my mom would be healed. My father prayed that my mom would be healed. The pastors prayed that my mom would be healed. Friends prayed that my mom would be healed. And yet, guess what? My mom was not healed. Now, is that fair? I thought to myself, why would God take this beautiful woman from these children, us? I'm sure if you're in that moment right now, you've been through this. You have these questions. I mean, does God answer prayer? Is he real? Is he really involved? Does he care about us? The truth is this. He had the power to heal, but he chose death and suffering instead of that. And I don't know about you, but I don't know that I thought that that was very fair. As a matter of fact, I didn't like it at all. That passage, Romans 8:28, all of a sudden is not making a lot of sense. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. I'm thinking there is no good in this for those who are called according to his purpose. Church, oftentimes this is a painful reality. God has the power over the physical. He has the power to heal. We've read it. And yet he doesn't sometimes do it. And so it's frustrating. We're overwhelmed by this. But I'm here to tell you that God is the God over healing, and God is the God over suffering. He is the same God. Why do I say that? Because if my mom doesn't die on October 7th, then my dad doesn't die 30, 45 days later. And if my dad doesn't die 45 days later, my grandma does not decide to leave us and leave us in the care of a loving woman and her family. Her name was Nora. And if that doesn't happen, guess what? I would not have experienced a divorce. You see, even in the midst of all this bad stuff, Satan was still allowed to get in and tear things out. And the family that took us in, they were loving. They were God-fearing. And all of a sudden, after 32 years of marriage, they're getting a divorce. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. God is not fair. And then what happens? The reality is this. If that doesn't happen, I don't move to Anchorage. There's just no way. If that doesn't happen, I'm a drunk fisherman in Saldovia. My dad was a crabber. I'm just telling you, my friends are not doing well that I grew up with. I would be them. And yet, God had a different plan. And if that doesn't happen, if I don't move to Anchorage, then I don't meet my wife. In the ninth grade, she was dating someone else. That's okay. But my first day of college, I wouldn't have recognized her, and I got in a relationship with her. And you know what? I gave my life to Christ because of that woman. She loved Jesus so much. And so I found myself dedicated to the ministry. And if I didn't marry her, I wouldn't have come back here. And if I wouldn't have come back here, I would not have got a job here as a pastor, and I wouldn't eventually be standing here in front of you today. You see, God works all things out. And that is so hard because in the moment, it feels like there is no God. And yet, his presence is all around us. Man, why does he do this? He heals us to demonstrate his power over the flesh. But he also allows Jesus also allows suffering to demonstrate his grace and goodness for our divine purpose. And I don't know where you're at today. I would dare say that over the vast majority of you in here today are going through something that you're like, God, I do not grasp it. But I want you to know that God is still in the healing business. Don't lose heart. Don't stop praying. You may ask me, why? Why? If it's just God's divine will and whatever happens, why pray? Why engage? Why even be involved? Why do anything? Because I need you to know something. God uses prayer and faith as a mechanism to allow his will to happen. You're not going to understand that fully, but I want you to know something. God's will is often accomplished through our faith and prayers. If we have no faith, God's will is oftentimes unfulfilled. What do I mean by that? Listen, in the prayer that Jesus gives his disciples, he says this in Matthew 6:9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed it be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to grasp the reality that God's perfect will is done in heaven. Nothing happens outside of his perfect will. On earth, he has a perfect will. What is this perfect will? He is coming back. Salvation is sure. But he also has a permissive will that says, listen, I'm going to allow man's choices to play into what I have for them. This is important. What does this mean? What do I mean by this? 2 Peter 3:9 says this: For the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you and I and the world, not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You see, God's will is that all come to repentance. Do you grasp this? His will is that all return to him. Everyone comes to him, and yet they don't. So is God's will not being done? No, this fits in the picture of what is called our permissive will or our free will. Where does that play into God's incredible will in our lives? So what is our part? What is our part to play? What is it about us that helps us understand what we're supposed to do? I mean, what are we supposed to do when bad things happen or when people need healing? And how do we engage that? And what do we do? If you have your Bibles, let's turn to our story this week. Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. And let's read this story. Here we go. This is a great story about healing and what our part is. It says this: And when Jesus has crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered with him as he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue named Jairus by name. And seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. So he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And as, listen, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood of 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better than, but actually grew worse. Sounds like half the doctors today. And she heard the report about Jesus and came up behind him in a crowd and touched his garment. Notice these words, for she said, If I touch even his garment, I will be made well. And immediately flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself the power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, Who touched my garment? Now remember, he is already being touched by lots of people. There's a crowd around him. His disciples said to him, You see the crowd pressing around you, and you say, Who touched you? Are you kidding me? Like, we have no idea. Any one of these 100 people that are trying to squash you. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. And while he was still speaking, there came the rulers, came from the ruler's house some who said, Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher? Okay, wait a second. We just had an incident. Jesus had to stop for a moment. All of a sudden, boom, the daughter is dead. I don't know about you, but that's overwhelming. And so overhearing what they had said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not fear, but believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw the commotion. People were weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." Now I want you to grasp this next phrase. In our mindset. And they laughed at him. Who laughs at the creator of the universe? They did. And he got the last laugh. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Listen to this. And taking her by the hand, he said, "Talitha kumi," which means, "My little girl, I say to you, rise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. I don't know about you, that these two stories directly tied together are overwhelming. It is amazing to think about what happens here. And so I want to just give you briefly two things that you need to understand about what it means for us to engage in the reality that God has the power over the physical. What does it require for us? What is God looking for in our hearts that if it is part of his will that you be healed, he actually does the healing? Notice the first thing is here. What is it? The source of healing was the power of Jesus. I need you to know something, crowd. The source of healing is the power of Jesus, not the RX drug you have in your hand. And it's not the doctor down on the street, although he plays a part. It is the divine power of Jesus who has the power. Listen, they weren't just asking for anyone. They weren't just asking from some stranger on the street. They weren't touching anyone, just some stranger down the street. No, they were invoking the power of Jesus, and healing is no different today. Healing comes through the power of Jesus. He is the source we must call on. Yes, he uses doctors. Yes, he uses medicine. But I want you to know, he uses that for meaningful things. He uses himself for supernatural divine intervention in what your body needs for healing. When there are no other answers, Jesus is the answer. If we don't grasp that reality, if we don't believe that is true, we're going to find ourselves struggling. These two absolutely knew Jesus was the source of their healing. And so he granted them this incredible divine healing. Secondly, faith or believing that Jesus can heal is required for the supernatural. I just need you to understand something. If you want Jesus' healing, but you don't have faith he can heal you, I just want you to know, good luck. I don't know how that works. I'm not God. He may choose to do it, but I'm letting you know. Every example we have is about faith. They believed Jesus could heal. You see, the woman had faith, if I could just touch. Now, I don't know about you, but that's crazy faith. If I could just touch his garments, if I could just touch him, Lord, I'll be healed. The other guy says, listen, I want you to come. Come see my daughter. Come right now. I need you to engage. If you'll just come. And then after death, remember, Jesus says this, if you'll just believe. Not only did he have to come, but then when he got the bad news, it was just believe. My friends, do you believe? Do you believe? Because God heals your body if it is in his will to do so. He will do it. Man, sometimes I believe that people are not healed because they're weak in their faith. Now you're like, Pastor Ron, that is heresy. I'm going to give you an example of that. See, I truly believe that God is asking. He is desiring. He wants to demonstrate himself to you. And oftentimes we think, it doesn't happen. God's not real. Notice in Mark chapter 6 and verse 4, when Jesus came into the village where he was from, notice this. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. He says, listen, when a prophet comes into town, all his friends, all his relatives, they don't believe. They have no faith. And notice this. He says these words. And he could not do mighty works there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people who did have faith and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. This, it says Jesus could not work where there was no faith. Oftentimes we hear the world say, well, if your God loved, he would heal all the people. No. No, no, he wouldn't. He would not do it. Just like he walked into this town and walked out and didn't do mighty works. Why? Because they don't believe. God just doesn't do works to do works. He doesn't do stuff to do stuff. God has a mission. God is working. God is working behind the scenes. Jesus seldom does mighty works amongst the unbelieving because they're unbelieving. Unless it's a sign in which he wants to do to reveal himself to them, he ultimately doesn't just heal unbelievers. He's like, hey, listen, I want you to believe in me. And if you believe in me, you can grasp the power of me. This is powerful because we get this argument all the time. I hear this all the time. Your God doesn't answer prayer. I say, well, do you believe that he's going to answer it? Well, no, but I'm praying. Well, good luck. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the God of the Creator, the universe. Man, he healed a few who had faith, but the rest of them missed out on seeing the mighty supernatural power of God. Man, you see, faith is required. Notice the encounter in Mark 5. In one case, the person only had to have faith themselves. Now, this is really interesting. I have to admit, it's amazing. The person who was sick had the faith and was healed. Okay, that was one situation. The other situation is what? Another believer had the faith that he could heal someone he loved. This is amazing. We're not talking about this faith. The Bible says that when pastors lay hands on, there's faith. Where the person believes, there's faith. There's all kinds of illustrations of faith. But the requirement is this. Do you have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he can heal you? You see, he's a creator of the body. He is the solution to our circumstance. And he alone has the power to create. And his power, listen, he has the power to repair his creation. God can choose to intervene in our lives at any moment and do supernatural and wonderful things. But faith is required. Listen, why did he do this? Remember again, he did only what was the will of the Father, whatever was in his will. It was a sign of humanity when Jesus did it. His compassion. God wanted to demonstrate his passion, and that is still true today. We often don't like this reality, like I said. We don't like the reality of how God deals with healing and how he does answer, and sometimes he doesn't handle it, but it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter because our faith is that God's will be done, not our will. Do you hear what I'm saying? The prayer is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you hearing me? Healing is not about you getting better. Healing is not, we're all going to die, just so you know. If you didn't know that, you do know. Whether you die when you're 12, 20, 80, doesn't matter. You're going to die. You see, God's will is going to happen, and that is all will die and face him one day. But that doesn't also change our role. Our role is to believe that God will heal us, believe that God is working, and even in our suffering, that God is doing a mighty thing, something greater than we could even dream or imagine. I can promise you, if I talk to every pastor, Bob Lee, Max Embry, I'm telling you right now, in their face said, could you imagine that little Ronnie Hoffman would be preaching at Mountain City Church 35 years after his mom died? They'd say, you're crazy. That would never happen. That never crossed their mind. They weren't thinking that. No, what they were thinking is, oh my goodness, we need God. And that was true. My friend, that's where you are. If you find yourself here, you just don't know the future. You just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. And I want you to know something. My mom is not in heaven saying, doggone it, Jesus, why did you take me so soon? She's up like, praise God, I got peaced out. Why do we stress over that? If you're a believer here today, I want you to know, living is okay. Heaven is so much better. But we don't live like that. We're holding on to every breath as though breath is what the very existence is our purpose is for, and that's not true. My friend, our breath is just here to give glory to God, and when we're done, we're done. And then God does amazing things in our lives. You see, God has the power over the physical body. He can do what he wills. He's an awesome God, and he demonstrated this in his story, and he did it so that you would believe. You see, not only is faith required in healing, faith is required to receive salvation. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, it's not knowledge of who God is that's going to save you, just so you know. It's not knowledge. It's not information. It's like healing. I know God can heal me, but do you believe it? Nah. Listen. Faith in Jesus is believing in your heart that he has overcome death and that he's the Son of God who has risen from the dead. And if we would repent and turn our hearts towards him, he will save us. But it requires faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you have the faith? Are you showing that you have faith? Or are you living a lie? Saying you believe one thing and living out a completely different way in your language, in your body language, in your conversation, and you're wondering why God is not intervening. I'm here to tell you, I'm a walking example of God's incredible grace. I do not deserve anything that I have, but by God's grace, he allowed me because I loved him. And I knew he had a plan for my life that was much greater than the circumstance that I found myself in. Church, let's stand with our heads bowed.
It's prayer time.
I want to ask you the big, hard question. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, would you consider doing it? Would you realize that the turmoil and the trials in your life, the struggle with guilt and unforgiveness in your life can be revealed. It can be released because Christ is the greatest forgiver. He forgives you because he loves you. He loved you so much he came and he died on the cross for you. And if you would just confess, repent of your sins, cry out to him as Lord, and decide that you are going to follow him, Christ says, listen, that's the kind of faith I'm looking for to do amazing things. The Bible says for those who love and who are called, you have to be loving and you have to be called saved for him to work things out. Church, I hope if you've never given your life to Christ, you do so. But at this prayer time, you know me, I'm talking to the church. How often does the world not know we're believers for how we respond to situations that are outside of our control, especially health? Does the world know that Jesus is creator of all because of your health situation? Have you declared that God is able to heal? But if he doesn't, I will not stop rejoicing. Is that you today? I'm afraid, church, that we struggle. So in this prayer time, I'm going to ask you, would you come down and just ask God to give you the courage, to give you the strength? The disciples said, Lord, give us faith. Give us faith so that we can believe. I'm asking you to do the same thing. As they play and as they sing, let's pray and ask God that he would grant us our faith.